news.
For years, we've known that the CIA helped overthrow Chile's elected president, Salvador Allende. Declassified documents now reveal that the orders came from the highest echelons of the U.S. government. President Nixon and Henry Kissinger were deeply involved in efforts to foment chaos in Chile. Peter Kornbluh followed the paper trail as director of the National Security Archives Chile Documentation Project. He's compiled a dossier of U.S. complicity. It's called the Pinochet File. He says the plans to stir up unrest in Chile were in place even before Allende's election in 1970.
The CIA, ordered by Richard Nixon, launched a massive effort to, in a matter of weeks, foment social unrest and economic destabilization and light a fire under the hardline military officers to just simply move to take power. And we now have the declassified documents on that period of time, and they're rather extraordinary. They are a blueprint for regime change, if you will, in a short period of time.
I want to talk about these documents a little bit because you're suggesting that they pretty much clearly state that the American government was planning to prevent a duly elected official from taking office in a foreign country.
Oh, there's no two ways about that. We really have the paper trail now from even before September 15th, when Richard Nixon explicitly ordered the CIA to foment a coup in Chile. We know that in the week before that, Kissinger had ordered the embassy in Santiago, Chile, to give a cold-blooded assessment of whether the military in Chile could be prompted to move to block Allende's ratification, Allende's inauguration as president after he was elected.
One of the other surprising things, I think, about the document trail you've uncovered is that they initially discovered the military was not interested in a military coup.
This is what is so fascinating. First of all, the CIA station in Santiago, Chile, immediately reported that this was an impossible task, that nobody there was interested in a military coup, that Chileans were perfectly satisfied with the election of Allende. And we have the declassified CIA cable saying Chile is basically tranquil and at peace with the election of a socialist president. And the answer would come back from Washington, we don't want your opinion. We want agitation. We want unrest. One of the things the documents show is that almost every key advisor to Henry Kissinger said to him, this is not doable or this should not be done. This is a memo dated on September 14th, classified secret sensitive from National Security Council aide to Henry Kissinger, Viren Vakey. Vakey wrote to Kissinger, what we propose is patently a violation of our own principles and policy tenets. Moralism aside, this has practical operational consequences. If these principles have any meaning, we normally depart from them only to meet the gravest threat to us. Example given, to our survival. Is Allende a mortal threat to the United States? It is hard to argue this. These are the types of documents that were on Kissinger's desk, advice to him, and he and Richard Nixon decided to go forward in any event at that point to try and block Allende from becoming president in the fall of 1970.
Now, in fact, the coup did take place in 1973 after Allende had been confirmed as president. Did the CIA participate in that coup?
Well, let me just go back just for a second. We tried to stimulate a coup to block Allende from actually assuming the office of president, from even being inaugurated in the fall of 1970. This was an operation codenamed Project Foubelt and also known as Track 2. That operation went down the drain when the Chilean military officers we were working with attempted to kidnap the Chilean commander-in-chief of the armed forces, General René Schneider. He opposed a coup.
So just to be clear, we're opposed to the man who's going to be president, and then when a military coup appears to be a non-starter, we are opposed to the head of the military and try to get him removed?
Yes. The CIA did a number of things in this six-week period. They tried to stimulate economic unrest. They ran a very strong propaganda operation to try and scare the Chilean public. In other words, they had to transform Chilean tranquility into unrest in order to provide a justification for a coup. But then they came up with this idea in discussions with several Chilean military officers that Chilean commander-in-chief René Schneider would be kidnapped His kidnapping would be blamed on the left, on Allende's supporters. A state of siege would be declared. A coup plotter would be, you know, put in General Schneider's place. And we'd kill a number of birds with one stone here and make a coup possible. Unfortunately, on October 22nd, for the CIA's planning, a group of thugs who were to be paid with $50,000 of CIA money, by the way, actually shot General Schneider rather than kidnapping him. And the plan went down the tubes. What's interesting from the documents is that when General Schneider was shot and killed, the CIA initially did not react in horror. They didn't send a cable from headquarters saying, God, you know, what happened down there? How did this go sour this way? Instead, CIA headquarters believed that it was Schneider shot and dying at this point, that the coup could go forward and that they had accomplished their mission.
Just as a sidelight, it's several years later, Richard Helms was testifying before Congress, and when asked whether the U.S. was involved, whether the CIA had any part, he categorically denied it.
He denied that the CIA had done anything to try and prevent Allende from becoming president. He became the first CIA director ever to be indicted for perjury before Congress. Eventually, he managed to avoid a trial and come to an agreement with the Justice Department under the administration of Jimmy Carter to plead no contest to misleading Congress and pay a $2,000 fine, which his CIA colleagues promptly raised during a kind of a victory party for him.
Now, when did the coup finally take place?
Well, the coup took place 3 years later. He was overthrown by the Chilean military led by General Augusto Pinochet.
Do you have documentation to show U.S. support of Pinochet prior to the coup?
Sure. Let me just share with you a really amazing document dated September 27, 1972. This is an intelligence report based on a discussion with a member of Pinochet's entourage as he has traveled to Panama and to Mexico on an arms acquisition mission. The document says that while Pinochet's group was in Panama, junior U.S. Army officers talked with a member of his entourage and, quote, told him, U.S. will support coup against Allende with whatever means necessary when time comes. Now, this is the message that Pinochet obviously had from the United States, and that all the top-level Chilean military officers who were aware of the coup plotting in the fall of 1970 and of Track 2 knew that the United States was clearly supportive of a coup.
In the meantime, there were a lot of U.S. officials who began to get very angry about U.S. involvement in the coup. Is that not true? And that was where some of our human rights laws began to take on more force?
Well, following the coup in 1973, Nixon was still president for a year. Kissinger was the official of continuity, I have to say, and he was there from 1970 to 1976 in the U.S. government. They're very involved in Chile policy for those 6 years. And for the first 3 years of the Pinochet dictatorship, the most repressive part of the dictatorship, I might add, Kissinger oversaw a policy of trying to support the Pinochet regime with military and economic aid. But the American public and the American Congress got very upset. Pinochet was clearly involved in major atrocities. There didn't seem to be any great U.S. national interest in supporting him. And not only that, but there were all these allegations and publications, stories broken by Seymour Hersh in the New York Times of CIA efforts to overthrow Allende. The issue of Chile created what I call the Chile syndrome. That was a national evaluation of the meaning of covert operations in our society and in our government. And we had a major debate over that in the mid-1970s, led by the Special Senate Committee, chaired by Senator Frank Church. And Congress moved, under the leadership of Senator Edward Kennedy and now Senator Tom Harkin and others, to create the first laws that mandated human rights as a criteria for economic aid, for our position at the multilateral banks, and for our military aid to governments like Augusto Pinochet's. These laws were passed in 1975, 1976. They were applied first to the Pinochet regime, and then they were applied to the other cutthroat military regimes in Latin America.
Those human rights laws became part of official U.S. foreign policy and are still in place today. Peter Kornbluh directs the National Security Archives Chile Documentation Project. His book is called The Pinochet File.